640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. The death toll from the Monterey Park, California mass shooting now stands at 11 after one of the wounded has died. CBS's Steve Futterman is there.
Law enforcement officials here are trying to solve a troubling puzzle. They still don't know what drove 72-year-old Hu Cam Tran to open fire. L.A. County Sheriff Robert Luna.
Did he plan this? Was it the day of? Was it a week before? What drove a madman to do this? We don't know. But we intend to find out.
The sheriff disclosed that 42 shots were fired during the massacre, and a search at the suspected gunman's home showed evidence that he was manufacturing gun silencers. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Monterey Park, California.
Two students have been killed and an instructor seriously injured at a school in Iowa. CBS's Matt Piper.
The incident happened at a school in Des Moines dedicated to helping at-risk youth. Two students were shot and killed and a teacher was seriously injured.
You know, these are supposed to be our safe spaces.
Des Moines PD Sergeant Paul Parazak.
The incident was definitely targeted. It was not random. There's nothing random about this. It was certainly a targeted incident. But as far as, again, motive, that's something that we are going to try and figure out. But oftentimes we're kind of all left wondering.
Police have three suspects in custody. Matt Piper, CBS News.
Des Moines mayor says the three suspects and two victims are teenagers, and the injured adult is the program's founder, William Holmes, a rapper known as Will Keeps. Four members of the far-right militia group Oath Keepers are convicted on seditious conspiracy charges for their roles in the U.S. Capitol attack. This follows the conviction of their leader, Stuart Rhodes, on the same charge in November. Attorney General Merrick Garland.
The role of the Justice Department is to apply the facts and the law in each case and to reach appropriate decisions in a nonpartisan and neutral way without regard to who the subjects are. That is what we've done in each of these cases, and that is what we'll continue to do.
The attorneys for the family of 29-year-old Tyree Nichols, who died 3 days after a Memphis police traffic stop, have seen video of it. Attorney Antonio Romanucci.
He was a human pinata for those police officers. It was an unadulterated, unabashed, nonstop beating.
Memphis police say the five officers involved have been fired. More nasty weather is on the way. CBS's Jim Krasula.
The National Weather Service says there's a 3 out of 5 risk of severe weather, including tornadoes tomorrow from the middle and upper Texas coast, across southern Louisiana eastward into the Florida Panhandle. North of there, a developing winter storm will dump several inches of snow from northern Texas north and east to southeastern Michigan.
This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
4 Civic Media, I'm Jane Matner with your headlines. More than 1,000 workers in Racine, Burlington, and in Iowa getting back on the job after a 9-month strike. United Auto Workers Union members were fighting for raises to help cover soaring inflation and increases in health care costs. Based in the United Kingdom, CNH Industrial employs more than 37,000 people around the world. Their third quarter profits jumped 22% last year to $559 million. No one was hurt when blades in the top portion of a wind turbine collapsed at the Butler Ridge Wind Farm in Dodge County near Herman on Wednesday night. However, there is a large crater from the impact. NextEra Energy Resources owns the turbine and is working to determine the cause of the collapse, as well as ensure the other turbines on the property are safe. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Pat, I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk.
Or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. Country thinks we're already in a recession. And, you know, you look at the most recent polling that hath come out, and the view is, well, 46% believe we're already there, we're already in the recession. This is what the media has done to us. Another 25% expect one very soon. So you've got a majority of the people going, hey, we're either there, we're getting there, because it's the message we keep hearing. And I had one of these conversations this weekend. Good guy. You know, we have a new studio space being built, and we're doing a had a guy owns a small business, came and delivered our unit that we're going to be building out as our studio space. And in the conversation that I had with him, it was amazing the talking points that he just, you know, rattled off. You know, we first started off, you know, the inflation's killing us, you know, business is slow, all this stuff. And I said, well, what do you think the reason for the inflation is? And immediately, without missing a beat, without skipping the beat, without a thought, Biden gave away all that money. Had the answer ready. It was simple. It was easy to understand. And you know, articulated a bit of the right-wing talking point of going, you know, you gave all these people money who didn't work, and you know, and it's done all these horrible things. And you go, what did you do with the money that you got? Well, you go, well, I paid bills. And what do you think the majority of Americans do? Now, again, the reason I bring this up is because this is a good guy, good, hardworking guy, older guy who, you know, he's a Trump guy. You know, he voted for Republicans. You know, this is the line because of the talking points that he chose to use about the economy, about the state of education, about the state of the country. All of it was, you know, your basic Fox News. And, you know, I look at this poor guy and I say this because my heart broke for him. Because here's a guy has, you know, clearly has medical problems, you know, told me that he had a certain medical condition that made it difficult for him to work. But there he was out there, you know, he had a whole bunch of visible problems that you go, explain to me why it is that your thinking is the way it is. It comes back to, it's the media that's being force-fed to this person. So we had this conversation about what, you know, what is and what isn't inflation and, you know, what is causing it. And the more we discussed it, the more he's like, well, you know, that actually makes sense. That makes more sense. You know, good old fashioned American greed makes a lot more sense than, You know, we gave working people some money to get through a pandemic to put food on the table, to ensure that they didn't lose their homes or fall behind on their bills. You know, we did that because, well, we didn't allow a lot of people to work. And it became one of these moments where you could see in this guy's head that, you know, something was moving. He's going, you know, this makes a little bit different sense than just the very simplistic, you know, Joe Biden gave away a bunch of money. And this is the great thing about right-wing arguments is they're very simplistic. They're very easy to digest. They're very easy to regurgitate. They're very easy to get behind because on a slight level, they make sense. The lowest common denominator argument makes sense. You know, we gave irresponsible people a boatload of money and they spent it frivolously. And yet you go and you talk to people and you go, well, what did you do with what was given to you? You know, during the pandemic, while people weren't working, what did you do with the extra unemployment benefit, with you know, the food stamp money that was going out? What did you do with all of that? And to a person, they all come back with, I used it to make it till tomorrow. In essence, did what was expected, did what was planned. Now, are there criminals out there who were doing horrible things? Yeah, there were. There's always going to be a con. There's always going to be someone who's the, you know, the a-hole. There's always going to be that guy. But you don't punish, you know, people like this guy, you know, salt of the earth guy, hardworking guy, and easy to pit against other working people. Because look, the guy's a hardworking guy. And you put that narrative out there. You go, you know, there's a bunch of people out there who aren't working as hard as you. There are a bunch of people out there who are sucking off of your dime. They're taking your part of the pie. They're taking your cookie. And they get angry and they vote against their own interests. Because here's a guy who should be getting assistance, help with medical, help with wages, because clearly had some serious ailments. Now, the reason I bring up this funding stuff, because we're going to hear a lot about it here over the next several weeks. The GOP and the right-wing mouthpieces are doing the inoculation right now of getting people all bunched up in the panties. We're getting people all riled up because there are criminals out there. Because there's a new Government Accountability Office report out that's saying that because of the benefits that were handed out during the pandemic, there may be as much as $60 billion in fraudulent unemployment insurance claims that were out there. And, you know, I don't doubt that because our systems are so broken or so overtaxed and our ability to ramp up and to actually do the work, that there were some things that slipped through. I don't doubt that at all. But you go, you know, $60 billion is a lot of money, right? It's an awful lot of money, and it is. Except when you look at the fact that we gave out, you know, almost $900 billion and got it out the door as quickly as possible to ensure that people didn't lose their homes, ensure people didn't go hungry, and ensure that the lights stayed on, that the economy didn't completely collapse. And this is not just defense of Joe Biden. It's also a defense of Donald Trump. Because remember, they pushed out a boatload of money as well. This was a bipartisan effort that now Republicans are going to use, because remember, if you remember the Lindsey Graham, you know, we're giving people extra money to be unemployed. They're too lazy to go back to work. They're now going to use this as that dividing tool, because now we're going to be pitting neighbors against each other. Well, you know, your neighbor got something that maybe you didn't get. You should turn them in. Now, understand, according to this Government Accountability Office report, they're saying that, you know, there's all these billions that were fraudulently paid out, and they're identifying it as, you know, it's waste, fraud, abuse, and mismanagement. But because remember, there were two different programs. There was the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program that for the first time gave unemployment benefits to freelance workers, self-employed workers, independent contractors, you know, people who were not, you know, W-2 employees. And then there was the Pandemic Emergency Unemployment Compensation Program that extended unemployment for traditional unemployment, people who maybe ran out of benefits on the state level and then gave a little bit more, the $600 and eventually the $300 that helped people survive. Because understand, and this is one of those things that we talked about during the pandemic, that unemployment insurance only replaces about 40% of your income. And I think a lot of working people went, oh my goodness, I didn't realize it was this bad. Because, well, conservatives, my Republican friends for decades have been attacking unemployment benefits under this guise of, you know, the lazy people will suck it all dry. No, what a solid unemployment benefit gives you is the ability to be a little judicious in what jobs you take. You're not going to take the first poverty wage job, desperation class job that comes down the way. You're going to go and try and get something to stabilize your standard of living. And this, again, doesn't play well in GOP circles because we want desperate, exploitable workers who are going to, you know, do the crummy jobs for poverty wages. Now, understand, I'm in favor. If you cheated in this system, if you went after and you used multiple Social Security numbers and you went after and you used multiple email addresses to game the system and, you know, you filed for dead people, you know, if you did these things, then yeah, we should be seeking those folks out. If you were in federal prison, for instance, and you were collecting unemployment, that's not how this was supposed to work. Now they're going to pursue states like California, New York, Pennsylvania. California, New York, Pennsylvania. What do those three states have overwhelmingly in common? There's something about those three states. What could that be? Could it be, I don't know, Democratic governors? Could it be, you know, blue states that, you know, voted against Donald Trump? Could that have something to do with the Republicans going, no, we're going to get to the bottom of this? Now, understand, I want criminals prosecuted. If you defrauded a system that I think we needed at the time, and you did it willingly, knowingly, with forethought and malice, there's a place for you, and that is jail, and we should be going after them. Here's my problem. My problem is I don't believe it ends there. I don't believe that's the end of the ballgame. I don't believe that Republicans go, no, we're going to get those criminals and only the criminals. What I think they're going to do is they're going to use this as a tool to just destroy these programs even further, because that, again, is their wet dream wish list. Destroy unemployment benefits, make people desperate. But also going to go after average everyday working people in blue states. Now, they've tried to do this in some of like South Carolina and some of the states where they go, well, you weren't eligible for as much as you got. And now they want to claw that money back and basically force people into chaos. This is what Republicans are going to do over the next 2 years. It's about causing the cruelty, because as I say all the time, the cruelty is the point. The absurdity of some of the things that they do, that's the point. The pain that they're going to inflict on working people is the point. Because after all, as I say, Republicans hate working people. Look at their policies. Now, this can be done in a way that will go after the criminals. Because even while it was going out the door, we knew, you know, these agencies knew that there were people filing multiple claims under fictitious names, but they were paying it anyway because they were overworked, well understaffed, because we've been slicing and dicing government agencies for decades and underfunding. Here in this state, you can't, in my state of Pennsylvania, you can't fill out a paper application for unemployment. You got to do it on the phone. And, you know, online, and the websites were crashing. So they were just trying to get money out the door to save the economy from collapsing. And yes, there were criminals, and I would argue a number of them bad foreign actors. Those people we go after. But, you know, the neighbor who maybe got $50 more than they should have because some paperwork snafu or some... Yeah, I'm not in favor of going after them, but they're going to. They're going to use this as an opportunity to crush working people so that you never have the audacity to file for unemployment again. Because again, it's about the pain. It's about the suffering. It's about the cruelty. Just my thoughts. Want to hear yours. You can email me, Rick@therickSmithshow.com. You got a thought, question, comment? Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. Also give us a call, 1-866-416-RICK. 1-866-416-7425. Back after that.
Fan of the show, you've heard our Labor History in Two segments, and you can hear them on the radio pretty much anywhere in the U.S. Labor history has never been more important than it is right now. So here's what we'd like you to do. Tell a teacher. Tell a teacher that labor history is important and that they can get digestible two-minute lessons that are absolutely free. Free to download, free to use, free to share. Tell a teacher to go to therickSmithShow.com/history and help us put labor back where it belongs, in the classroom. You know, generations of American workers fought, bled, and died to build the American way of life. It's our job to keep their stories alive. Go tell a teacher that we're here to help them do just that. Find us at therickSmithShow.com/history today.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, some good news in Iowa and Wisconsin as the Case New Holland workers have agreed to a tentative agreement in their contract. You may remember from our Working Class Heroes radio tour, we met folks in Racine, Wisconsin, and Burlington, Iowa, as those guys have been on strike for 9 months. They've been on strike. This weekend, they voted overwhelmingly to accept the last offer, 62-37, and they will be going back to work here in the coming days. Wage increase bump up to 38% over the 4 years of the contract, up from 28%. They got some language on overtime. They stood up and they fought for what they needed. They demanded, and they fought. And they won. Now they get everything they want? No, you never do. But this is a victory for the UAW members of Local 180 and 807. So shout out to those guys in Racine, Wisconsin, and Burlington, Iowa. Also Cedar Rapids, Iowa. You may remember also while we were on tour, we stopped by the picket line at Ingredion. The Ingredion workers have also agreed to a tentative agreement, ending their what is nearly a 6 month strike. And again, back to they got much better than the initial offer. This is part of how this is played. Now understand, Iowa is a no rights at work state. The threat had been, in both of these cases, to continue to use scabs and to replace these workers. So they stood up and they fought in the face of overwhelming obstacles. And good on them. They're going to be going back to work here in the coming days as well. Tomorrow on the program we'll have one of the BCTGM representatives come and share some of the thoughts there. Also, shout out to our listeners in Los Angeles, the Teamsters Local 396, Republic Services workers in LA. They have won significant wage, pension, and health care increases in their contract. This is good on them. Industry leading contract. And this is what contracts are supposed to be about: raising conditions, raising people's ability to make ends meet, raising their ability to have a better standard of living. So good on them. If you've got thoughts on any activity going on, let us know. We'll get folks on to talk about it and share the good news. Because for me, every one of these victories is another positive that keeps the snowball growing and rolling and encouraging others to do the same and stand up and fight for better wages, hours, conditions. Over the weekend, the anniversary of Roe, I believe someone told me it was the 50th anniversary. There were demonstrations across the country. I know a friend of mine was in Madison, Wisconsin, with 3,000 people who came out to say, look, don't destroy women's ability to control their bodies. Found an interesting quote. This Representative Jim Banks from Iowa, or not from Iowa, from Indiana, was doing one of these right-wing radio programs. And the guy the host of the program is going on. We got to find a way to stop these young ladies from hopping in a car and going an hour and a half away and getting that abortion care because we're taking it away here. And Representative Banks agreed with him that we've got to stop these women from leaving the state. And in my mind went, of course, these are the papers please people. These are the people who, you remember their immigration policy was, chipping immigrants. Is that the future? I mean, I come back to this, and what's frightening to me is there's no depths which these people will not stoop. There's nothing too extreme for them to enact their control. Now, remember, these are the same people who tell you, we want small, less intrusive government. We want to live our lives. We want to be left alone, except, in your personal decision. This is going to be the next battlefront. Understand, the right wing, now that they have won their right to overturn Roe on the federal level, they're going to fight in the states to make it illegal in states, and they're going to beat up on corporations who have this in their health care. Any contraception is coming. We're going to go back 50 years. We're going to go back 60 years. And that's where the Jim Bankses of the world want us to go. And again, they're going to divert us with all kinds of other schemes, all kinds of other outrage. But what it's really about is about power and control. And the world that they envision for us, and this is where we've got to, as working people, have got to go, what kind of a world do we want to live in? What kind of an economy do we want to have? What kind of society do we want to leave to our children? Do we want them to have more or less rights than we have today? What I see coming out of the Republican Party right now is very theocratic, the Christo-fascist kind of stuff. The really frightening kind of, as I say all the time, Christian Sharia law, where women are second-class citizens. And as the father of two young women, that's not something I can tolerate. Now, I've said before, I'm personally not in favor of abortion. I would hope that if my daughters got pregnant, that they would not go that route, that there would be other avenues available. But that's their choice. At no point should I or any other man tell them, especially not Jim freaking Banks, what they have to do and what they cannot do with their own bodies. I'm struggling with that. Again, I'm with you on the we want less intrusive government. We want government to do the things we want them to do, but I don't know. This papers please mentality, we're going to stop people from crossing borders? Because this is what they're saying. If you live in Indiana, you can't go to Michigan. You can't go to Illinois. They got to set up checkpoint Charlie on the freeway there. Oh, they'll have big boxes on 80 taking pregnancy tests before you can get out of the state. I mean, is this where we go? And sadly, I can envision that. I can see that coming out of these people. And we should be frightened, because it's now the women folk. I go back to that Pastor Niemöller quote from World War II. First they came for the Jews, and I said nothing because I wasn't Jewish. And then they came for the trade unionists, and I said nothing because I wasn't a trade unionist. And then they came for the socialists, and I said nothing. And by the time they came for me, there was nobody to say anything for me. This is one of those moments. Now, again, what's interesting to me is, and I've said this all along, if you want people to have children, if you want to encourage people to have children, conditions are important. Jobs, education, healthcare, opportunities. Make this a place that you want to bring children in, not a place that you have to, not a place where you're being punished. Is that difficult? Now, again, I've been scouring the state legislatures and our congressional geniuses like Jim Banks to find that legislation that's going to make sure that every kid gets fed, going to make sure that every kid gets an education, every kid gets health care, that every parent has a job that can support a family. I've been looking for this legislation. It ain't there. I do know there's a guy, his name is Joe Biden, who has said in the next 7 years we're going to end childhood hunger. Sounds like a good idea. Think we're going to get the Republicans on board to help with that? I wouldn't hold my breath. Most certainly. Especially if we have to tax rich people to do it.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. An 11th person has died after Saturday's mass shooting at a California dance hall. L.A. County Sheriff Robert Luna says they still don't have a motive.
From the Monterey Park scene, where the victims were assassinated, investigators recovered a total of 42 shell casings and a large capacity magazine.
Des Moines, Iowa police say two teenagers are dead and one adult seriously injured after a shooting at a charter school. Sergeant Paul Parizek says 20 minutes after the shooting, police took three suspects into custody.
One of our patrol officers spotted that car about 2 miles south of here. We were able to get it stopped. Two people stayed in the car. One bailed out and ran. From there, we deployed a canine. We were able to track that third person down.
Attorneys for the family of Tyree Nichols, who died after a traffic stop in Memphis, have seen video of the confrontation with five officers who've been fired. Attorney Ben Crump.
You should not be killed because of a simple traffic stop.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The Shaw 101 FM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. The man who killed a college student in Madison more than 14 years ago is going to prison for the rest of his life. David Call was sentenced on Friday for the murder of Brittany Zimmerman in 2008. He confessed to killing her last fall after evading charges for several years. Her family in Marshfield tells Channel 7 in Wausau she'd be proud they never gave up. Six trucks are out of the water after falling through the ice on Lake Pepin in western Wisconsin over the weekend. The sheriff in Goodhue County, Minnesota, says the trucks were on the ice because there wasn't any place to park on the shore. Nobody got hurt. Wardens are reminding fishers that the ice this winter is often not as safe as it looks. In sports, the Bucks are at Detroit tonight. The Badgers travel to Northwestern. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
What are the governor's priorities for Wisconsin? Tony Evers will lay out his second-term plans during his State of the State address January 24th. You can hear it live on your local Civic Media radio station. Will abortion rights, Medicaid expansion, and legalizing marijuana be the top issues? Your favorite hosts also provide insight by breaking down the governor's address. The State of the State address live Tuesday, January 24th at 7 p.m. here on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
For unions that are organizing at Starbucks, Amazon, McDonald's, etc., why not a Wall Street banker union? Solidarity forever, brothers and sisters.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So a new report out by the good folks over at Evergreen Action and the Natural Resources Defense Council
Their report titled Powering Towards 100% Clean Power by 2035. Ambitious goal. I mean, just a couple years down the road. And look, I think, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act moving us in that direction. But the question is, how do we get from, you know, over 60% of our energy being produced by fossil fuels as it is today to Biden's goal of 100% in just several years? Maybe Ohio has the answer. Maybe we just change the definition of what is clean. I mean, they've been trying that. But here to share some thoughts on the report and how we actually get to a clean, renewable future with air that we can breathe and water that we can drink, I've asked Charles Harper to come talk with us. Charles is the power sector policy lead over at Evergreen Action. EvergreenAction.com is their website. Charles, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks, Rick. Excited to be here.
So I'm looking at this report and I'm going, you know, how it's great. I love these reports. They got visions on how we're going to get to a clean green future. And it's going to be on paper. It is brilliant. Much like when I coached football, every play I drew up on paper scored a touchdown. How are we going to put this report into practice? How are we going to get people to come around? Walk me through it.
Yeah. So you mentioned the Inflation Reduction Act, which I think is the crucial context for all of this. Biden and Democrats made a lot of progress on climate change and clean energy last year. Will get us a long way towards our climate goals. So Biden's promised 100% clean power by 2035. The IRA can get us to 66% by the end of this decade, which is a huge amount of progress. And he actually has a lot of executive actions he can use to build on that too. So in this report, we drill down on what all those are using existing authority without relying on the Republicans in Congress. He can get all the way to 77% reduction in power emissions by 2030. That's on the way to 100% by 2035. It's pretty much exactly where it needs to be. So with these executive actions, nothing comes for granted. You know, the Supreme Court and the challenges that poses as well as I do. But under the Clean Air Act and some of these other laws that have already been passed, there's a lot that President Biden can do on his own.
No, and I hope they're moving him in that direction. The sad reality is, as you've pointed out, we've got the six dictators in robes who I fear, you know, throw the sand in the ointment because, you know, they're doing everything they can do to undermine regulatory oversight and really take away the ability to do the things that I think your report lays out and the direction that we could get to where we need to get.
Yeah, there's no getting around the Supreme Court with the current makeup of the Senate. As you know, it's not really going to happen. So EPA and these other agencies and President Biden's administration, they really do have to work within the constraints. So last year, the Supreme Court had a climate change case called West Virginia v. EPA. You might know that one. And it did limit what EPA is able to do under some of these statutes. But even under that ruling, it didn't take away EPA's authority to set regulations for power plants. There are some certain requirements that have to be more limited in their scope. But even with those constraints, this report shows that we can still make a lot of really good progress towards these climate goals. And even with the Supreme Court maybe challenging some things, there are a lot of different rules that Biden can work to implement, and they likely won't be able to strike down all of them. It's a lot of chances at the dartboard.
But the real thing here is, and I was reading an article today, you know, how is Biden going to sell this clean energy future? How are we going to get him to buy electric vehicles and electric heat pumps and the things that you know, we need to make this transition? Because it is going to be a difficult transition, you know, trying to get people to act in their own best interest and the best interest of humanity. I mean, just look at, you know, last week with the whole stove trooper nonsense. They're coming for the stoves! And you know, how easy it is for the moneyed interest and in corporate America to, well, misinform, divert, deflect, you know, lie. I mean, you look at the report that came out last week on the petroleum industry and their climate scientists basically pegging exactly where we are, but yet buried it. If there's a question here, is there hope for humanity given the realities that we end up facing?
I'm actually really optimistic recently. If you'd asked me this time last year, I don't think I would have said that. But despite all of the moneyed interest, despite all of the fossil fuel propaganda, we did pass this historic climate bill. And that's going to set the playing field for Biden and the states and cities around the country to really make a lot of progress. So the Inflation Reduction Act gave massive tax credits to these technologies you mentioned, like wind and solar energy, to battery storage, to electric vehicles. And it's really bringing down the cost on so many of these things that now they're the cheapest solution available. Wind and solar energy are cheaper than 99% of new fossil fuel gas plants after these new tax credits. So cost is really on the side for the first time of climate change and this transition to cleaner technologies. So with all of these massive investments from Congress and the federal government, now it's up to the administration to create new rules to limit pollution from coal and gas power plants, these other things that are really going to tighten the screws now that the cost calculation is in the favor of clean energy.
Nah, but you know, I was hoping for this back in, what was it, 2008, 9, 10, 11, when we put solar panels on our house back in 2011. I was hoping this was going to be our future. Then again, when I was a kid back in the 70s, when Carter put solar panels on the White House, we were told the same thing. It's going to bring the cost down. It's going to be great. And yet somehow my Republican friends figure out a way to stab it in the back.
Yeah, that's happened for decades and decades. The climate movement was fighting for this cap and trade bill back in 2010. You might remember that one. But we finally do have this new legislation, this new law in Congress. And we really need to like seize the victory, seize all the wins that we've made and really make the most of this new funding.
No, I'm right there with you. But the question then comes back to, how do we get Americans on board? How do we make this a call to the future? I mean, solar energy to me is a no-brainer. We should have solar panels everywhere. I mean, when my kids were small, they were going, hey, how come the mall doesn't, the Walmart or the mall, how come the roof isn't covered with solar panels like our house? How come the walkways going to through the parks don't have solar panels? How come the big giant billboards don't have, I don't have an answer for the kids because it makes sense to me. A five-year-old gets it. I don't know why the rest of us didn't.
Well, I think a lot of people are probably making decisions based on the money. So I think that now that the money solution is there, it becomes in a lot of people's best interest, even if they don't care about the climate emissions so much. You might have been following the news the last few months since this new climate bill passed. The billions and billions of dollars that the private sector is now spending on clean technologies, clean manufacturing, new solar plants, new EV plants in Georgia, all over the country. The private sector is really not necessarily making these decisions because they love the climate or care about polar bears or disadvantaged communities. It's really because now the money is there. There's business to be made, and people are creating jobs all over the country to do this type of work. So even if you're not wanting solar panels on the parking lots, as Rick, I'm glad you do. I do as well. But even if that's not your motivating interest, There are millions of jobs to be had in this new clean energy future. It's really going to be where America as an economy is going, as the world is going over the next few decades. And the private sector and folks around the country are starting to see that. And all of us can keep spreading the message.
There you go. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show. We're with Charles Harper. Charles is the power sector policy lead over at Evergreen Action, evergreenaction.com, the website. We'll get links out on social media. You can take a look at their most recent report, Powering Towards 100% Clean Power by 2035, in conjunction with the Natural Resources Defense Council. We'll get links out again on social media. You can take a look at that. Now, I come back to this because, you know, we're seeing a lot of attacks on green energy, especially on batteries and EV technology. We're seeing reports about cobalt mining. We're seeing, you know, what do we do with all these batteries? There are a lot of questions here that I don't know are fully answered. Do we have to go through answering those questions for folks before maybe we get on board, or do we have answers for those?
There are going to be some challenges that we have to work through as we get to higher levels of EV adoption, higher levels of clean energy. But right now in 2023, we're not there yet. There are some really low hanging fruit, some really cheap technologies. Wind and solar energy is now, it's dirt cheap in most areas of the country with these new tax credits. EV subsidies of $7,500 per car you purchase, these things are really going to make a difference. And the fossil fuel industry is going to keep coming up with new talking points about the environmental impacts of new mining, but you can't get away from the massive environmental impacts of the fossil fuel industry destroying communities around the country, causing global climate change that's going to make us all poor. All of these things are inescapable, and the things are only going to warm up. Things are only going to get worse unless we stop emitting. And President Biden and the federal government has a real opportunity to make a difference here through some of these new rules on power plants at the EPA and other places. And we really need him to step up now.
Now, again, you've said that, you know, he's got the executive authority to do a bunch of things. We've now got a Republican House that's hell-bent on stopping whatever they can. Do you see a way that they're able to undo, close the purse on the Inflation Reduction Act? Is there a way for them to strangle that? Does debt ceiling fight play into this? Do you see any way of them being able to close the purse?
I wouldn't be surprised if the Republicans in the House do their worst to try and stop all the good things that President Biden's doing. Thankfully, with the Inflation Reduction Act, all of that money went out the door. It was all authorized last year. So it's not like something that needs a continued vote for the budget every year. That money is out the door. It's going to be really hard to claw that back. They might try to pull some other shenanigans with the debt ceiling or government shutdowns to try and get Biden to compromise on his climate agenda. But that should not even be in discussion. The American people voted for Biden for his really ambitious climate agenda, and we don't expect him to make any sort of concessions like
now,
that.
You say the money's out the door, and yet, you know, most people aren't seeing it. I've said, you know, especially on the infrastructure part of things, that there should be big giant 20-foot statues of Biden going, I did that. Where are we seeing this investment if the money's out the door? Where are we seeing this stuff at? You mentioned, you know, battery plants in Georgia and Ohio and those kind of things. But where are we seeing it that affects average everyday people's lives? Where is that happening?
Yeah, so a lot of these new programs kicked off January 1 of this year. So tax credits for things like EVs, for things like heat pumps in your home that run on electricity to heat and cool your house. All of these new massive subsidies and tax credits to help homes, to help folks just cut their own emissions and save a little money on their electricity bills, those are all now available. So there are a lot of resources from groups like Rewiring America, from the Biden administration too, on how to take advantage of those things. So a lot of those programs are available for the next 10 years. So the money hasn't been sent to people's homes yet, but they have the next 10 years starting January of this year, to access those things. And that's really going to make a difference for folks who are trying to cut costs with rising prices, trying to do a little good at home, reducing their own footprint, those types of things. These subsidies are really going to make a difference.
Yeah, is that going to be enough, though? I mean, you know, the reality is there, you know, I was interviewed by a group not too long ago, and they go, you know, any problems with the move towards a green economy? I say the transition. The transition, always working people are the ones who take it on the chin, especially people at the bottom of the scale, the people who can't afford to replace their furnace with a heat pump, people who can't afford to get that jalopy that, you know, is probably 15 years old and to get the tax credit. Those are the folks who I fear are going to be left behind in this. Is there a way to ensure that especially the people at the bottom of the working class don't get screwed over, as we've seen through every transition?
Well, there's a lot of work for all of us to do to make sure that doesn't happen. Thankfully, a lot of these incentives are even more impactful for folks with less income, with less wealth. For heat pumps and energy efficiency in your home, for example, there are extra tax credits if you are lower moderate income. So if you're not so rich, there's extra money for you. It's not just relatively more money. It's like more in absolute terms. There's an extra $2,000 or something like that for you to retrofit your home. So people who spend a lot of their income each month on their electricity bill, they stand to benefit more than anyone else from some of these efficiency improvements, some of these building upgrades that'll also help with the climate.
The report, Powering Towards 100% Clean Power by 2035, written by the folks over at Evergreen Action and the Natural Resources Defense Council. That's the report. We'll get links out on social media how you can take a look at that. Charles, I appreciate the thoughts, the time. Best of luck on this. As this continues, I'd love to have you come back and share some more thoughts as we're cleaning and greening the environment and moving towards a more sustainable future.
I would appreciate that. Nice talking to you, Rick. Thank you.
Good stuff. Thanks so much. I want to hear your thoughts. 1-866-416-RICK. 1-866-416-7425. Are you on board with, well, moving to an electric future? Let me know. I want to hear it. Also, you can email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1936. That was the day when 20 laborers who were part of the Civilian Conservation Corps got involved in a type of labor they probably never expected. The Civilian Conservation Corps was a program established by President Franklin Delano Roosevelt to get young men back to work during the Great Depression. The program employed men ages 18 to 26 to complete public works projects across the nation. CCC crews planted nearly 3 billion trees, constructed 470 fire towers, built 97,000 miles of fire roads, and constructed facilities at 800 parks across the nation. But snowy weather had ground work to a halt in Allegheny County, Maryland. The men of Company 324 were at the 15 Mile Creek camp waiting for the weather to clear. That's when they received a distress call. A woman was trapped due to the snow. She was in labor, but the 3 mile long access road where she lived was impassable. Even worse, the state's snowplows were busy digging out other roads. The men of the CCC answered the call. 20 volunteers shoveled the snow by hand, working well into the night so the trapped woman could make it to the hospital to deliver her baby. In total, 30,000 young men working in 200-man crews participated in the CCC in Maryland from 1933 to 1942. Due to its proximity to Washington, D.C., the state was designated the first core area. The CCC men helped to build campgrounds, pavilions, and hiking and skiing trails that greatly enhanced the recreation landscape of that state. But for one woman, they were remembered for helping her when she needed it most, during the birth of her child on a snowy day in January. Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
You know, I go back to when we put solar panels on our house, and again, the kids were thrilled with the idea. Look, you know, we're gonna use the sun to power the house. Great idea. Got them thinking. You know, how else can we use the power of the sun to be able to? And they would ask, you know, why doesn't the local store have the entire roof covered? Why doesn't the school? And look, their school did a huge solar array thanks to the Obama administration when they were giving out, you know, tax credit money to do this. It's the incentive. Again, it's like herding cats. There's only one way you can herd cats, and that's with cat food. That's how you get them to come together. This is what we're seeing on this front as well. There's a lot of incentives, and it'll be interesting to see. It'd be interesting to see how we go through this. Or are we going to see more outrage, more feigned outrage about stove troopers around every corner coming to pry your gas stove from your cold, dead hands? Oh, man. Let's go to the phones. Got Alice on one. Alice, how are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm kind of giggly because I gave the local Trump supporter a conspiracy theory to worry about.
Uh-oh.
Because she was... Now, I'm all for the switching over to the electric and stuff. In fact, in my electric bill this month, I had there was a note in there about getting the heat pump, the new heat pumps and stuff, and getting the tax credits. But she was having a fit, of course, about, you know, we're still on the stormtroopers coming for the gas stove kind of thing. So I gave her one to worry about. I made it up. And I'm going to share it with you.
I got to hear this, Alice.
Okay. Now, you've not heard of, because he's very secretive, but it's Agent Zero, okay? And he is stationed in Italy. In fact, he covers a lot the Catholics and the Pope. But did you know? Because there are six Catholic Supreme Court justices. And the plan is, and they've got the evangelicals going along with it because they haven't figured it out yet, that with this, we're going to make it a Christian nation. What they're going to do is they're going to impose the Catholic religion as the national religion of the United States. This has been in the works for, since, you know, 1779. So she's all worried about it.
It's basically a Da Vinci Code for Republicans. Oh, man. Oh, come on, Alice. Why do you cause trouble? Why are you causing trouble?
I thought if you're going to come up with a conspiracy theory, you know, I like a good conspiracy theory. X-Files was one of my favorites. Let's make it, you know, something that everybody stops and goes, wait a minute, you know, that kind of sounds like it could be something that they might plan on. So, yeah. So, you know.
Oh, Alice. Oh, Alice.
Have a good evening, Rick.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much. But here again, you know, the sad reality is there are people who are going to buy that. And in fact, you know, Alice made it up. I'm sure someone else did, too. Because you remember, you know, when we had that Catholic president for the first time, you remember that? You know, back in the 60s with Kennedy, you know, he was going to hand everything over to the Pope. There's fear. There's real fear. And the sad thing is when people are fearful like this, they'll buy anything. That's the scary, twisted part. And I'll bet you that the person that she told this to is probably, you know, right now dialing up friends going, is this true? You believe this? And they're probably organizing around right now, going to be picking out in front of the Catholic churches, well, maybe tomorrow. Wow. Frightening. I guess breaking news. You heard it here first. Alice started a conspiracy theory. Nice. If you've got a conspiracy theory, I most certainly want to hear that. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Because, again, who doesn't love a good tale? And no one spins tales quite as well as the folks on the right. I mean, everything's a conspiracy. And they take a kernel of reality, a kernel of truth, and they blow it up into these extreme, just, you got to give them credit on a certain level. They do have vivid imaginations. Around every corner is a pedophile who's got a sex trafficking ring going on. And yet when you look in their closets, you know, kind of strange. I'm going to have to keep an eye out for that. But on the green energy front, and I want to go back to this for a minute because I do think Biden is moving us in a positive direction. Do I have some questions? Yeah, there's a lot of details that still need to be worked out. And again, it's these fissure points that the fossil fuel industry and the big moneyed entrenched interests are going to continue to divide us on. Me personally, I wish we had more public transit. I wish we had more ways of getting off of a centralized grid. Because understand, our conspiracy kook folks, I don't know if you've seen reports, especially out west in Washington State, where you've got these militia groups and these conspiracy groups who are now attacking the power grids because they want to make life miserable for the rest of us. I've said for a while, I would love to see a society of, you know, every home being energy independent. Now, here's the problem with that. Here's the problem. If your home is energy independent, if you do have, you know, solar panels like ours that produce almost half of our electricity, if you had some kind of wind or geothermal and you had a number of these systems that were in place that you didn't have to be on the grid, that you were creating your own energy, you wouldn't be making monthly payments. And it's those that passive income, if you will, it's those residual payments to corporations that they plan on, that they dole out to their shareholders. And it's, you know, it's again, it's an extraction from working people to the wealthy. You know, if they could figure out, how to put solar panels on your house and you pay them for it and then be able to profit mightily up, we'd have them everywhere. If they could figure out how to meter the sun and charge you for it, oh yeah. Now, here in Pennsylvania, where I live, they're actually trying to charge you a metering cost for having solar panels. They actually tried that, and a couple of states already have it. It's about using bad policy to punish good outcomes. Because remember, these are folks who, they know which side of the bread they have the butter on. They know who's paying the campaign coffers. They know who's paving the way. It's, you know, on the right, it's not working people. So hate and division and you know, bowing to corporate interests, That's their bread and butter. I mean, it's amazing to me. I go back to when I was a kid. I really believed at this point in my life that we would be energy independent off of solar panels. I remember Carter putting those on the White House, and I also remember Reagan and ripping them off.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.